Okay, brethren, we're here now on the Sabbath, and it's a beautiful Sabbath day. It's probably the only spring day we'll have all season, as the weather is going kind of crazy nowadays. This is the second part of Satan's life and death that we're going through. Last week we basically went through where Satan came from, who created him, who made him, and the purpose for that. We saw what Satan's mind and his character and his attitude really is from the Bible, and how we see that demonstrated within mankind today. Remember what we read about in Romans, about him turning them over to a reprobate mind, and that is that satanic mind. In Galatians, where we saw the difference between the fruit of Satan's spirit and the fruit of God's spirit. And then we went into the Garden of Eden and what really happened there. And what an immense situation that was with Satan being entered into that garden. And God allowed that to happen. And when mankind came in contact with Satan, they had no choice of the matter. They had to go his way, and they took from that fruit, and that sin was committed. We saw that we really don't have free moral agency, and that there's this other spirit that is there, and it's the best way I know how to explain it is that it's a computer chip or a program that Satan puts within all mankind, and he does literally control you. And we learned last week and saw how that those lusts, the pride, the envy, all of those characteristics of Satan, we see in ourselves and we see in all other human beings. And we know it's there. We know it's a permanent thing within a human being, at least at this time. We also learned a little bit that human nature is good. Human nature is what God created. And when God and the Word got done creating man, they said, this is good, this is perfect, this is right. And human nature was there. That human nature has an attitude of helping each other and of serving one another and of being pleasant and nice. But once that satanic nature was put into man, it overwhelms that other nature, the human nature, which is good. And what we see, and Satan would love to have us, and that's what he's tried to do all these years, is have us refer to this nature, actually his nature, as human nature, which puts the responsibility on us for controlling this. And it is Satan is the one who is at fault and will be held at fault by God on this. So we went through and had an overview of what Satan has been doing in the world, where he came from, what his attitude is, what his character is. But in part two, and we probably will have a third part, I'm sure we will have a third part to this sermon, and it'll give you a very good background and knowledge of what Satan has done on this earth and what God has allowed him to do and the purpose of why it was here. So today what we want to start to go into is, what is Satan doing today? All right, he's got this bad character. He's an evil angel. He has these other angels with him that are evil. We know what he did at the Garden of Eden. But what's he doing today? What is Satan doing today? Well, let's go to the scriptures and find out. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. What the Bible tell us? We've heard men talk about this too much. We want God to tell us the truth about Satan. And that's what we're learning. In 2 Corinthians 4, and in verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this world," and this is Satan, "in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Now what he's saying here is that God, or Satan, is the God of this world, and he has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who are those people? The ones who do not believe are all the ones who are not first fruits. As we have seen from other sermons, and any of you who are getting these tape sermons, just have patience, you'll get those sermons, is that the first fruits are called, of course, by God. We all know that. And they're the only ones who can believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't have God's Spirit around you and in you, you cannot believe. It's an impossibility. All the Christian churches of the world do not believe in Jesus Christ. They truly believe in an Antichrist. We'll get to that later. They believe in a Christ that is not the Christ of the Bible. They believe in a false Christ, a Christ that Satan has invented. But here we see that he is the God of this world, and he's the one who has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest, see, they would understand and know, and then they would be held accountable. But they wouldn't have God's Spirit with them. Because that only comes through baptism and laying on of hands as a first fruit. Let's go over to Revelation 12. If we turn there, we'll have another explanation. Now we're breaking into another thought here and some other descriptions of things that were going on. But just to make the point, so we see it with our own eyes, and we already know these scriptures, but it's good to read them again. Revelation 12:9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that the old serpent called the devil and Satan." These are all of his names, and we'll get into that probably in the third sermon on this series about how God relates to Satan, all the different names that he uses, "which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Okay? So it tells us that he is out there deceiving the whole world. Now, if we didn't read this, I think we read this in the first sermon, but in verses 3, it talks about the great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. And in verse 4, "and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven." Now these were a third part of the angels who were created and made to do this. This didn't happen by accident. Satan didn't run around and round some angels up and brought them against God suddenly, and God went, oh, wow, some of my angels are missing. No, he knew exactly what was happening. It's created that way. But this is what Satan is doing today. He is there to deceive the whole world. And the more we get into it, the more we see that that's exactly what he did. He didn't lie. There it is. We can go back to Isaiah 14 very quickly just to hit a couple of scriptures. I try to give you two or three scriptures on a particular subject so that you can see at least that it is written in the inspired Word of God. There are many, many more scriptures about that subject, and that is for you to dig out. That is for you to study. We give you the keys on what is happening. In Isaiah 14, in verses 5 and 6, the Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted. And it's talking here about Satan, as we know, we read this before in verse 12, it starts talking about Lucifer. But he ruled the nations. These are just descriptions of him all through Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah. You'll start to understand that it's talking so much about Satan. We've always thought, oh, it's talking about those terrible Israelites or this king. Or no, he's talking about Satan, because he is the one who rules. There's also history involved in these chapters. But when you know, like when Christ spoke, everything he spoke in parables, so people couldn't understand. So when they read Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, they really don't understand it. We've read it for all these years in church. We didn't understand it because we didn't know the true plan of salvation. Now that we know the true plan of salvation, we realize that in those three books, it's very difficult to find any place, now this will be shocking for you if you haven't heard the other tapes, that it really doesn't mention that much about the thousand-year period, the millennial period, at all. Just a few little scriptures. We've misinterpreted awful lot of these scriptures to the thousand-year period, and that's not what it's talking about at all. So the Bible really does start to open up. I'll just give you this scripture, Isaiah 10, verses 12 through 14. It talks about Satan, and he's boasting that he did all things. And he has done an awful lot on this earth. Let's see in the New Testament here, in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:2. Goes on and says here, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. So he's talking to first fruits here. And he's talking about in times past you lived like the world lived, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He's telling these people here, you know, don't go back to that way of life. That's what you came out of. That's what God opened up your mind so that you could come out of that way of life. Don't go back in there. But he's showing us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And that spirit is working. It's working very, very hard. Let's turn over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 12. This is something that we've read, we've heard, and we don't pay any attention to. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then he goes on to talk about the whole armor of God. That's another sermon. We're just describing here what Satan has been doing. And here's a warning to the first fruits. And it's a warning to all of us. We think that we strive against ourselves. And we think that we strive against our human nature, which is really, as we've said, Satan's nature. We think that we strive against our neighbor, or our boss, or our wife, or husband, or children. This is who we think we wrestle against. And God continually tells us, open up your eyes and realize that that is not the force that you fight. You are fighting against that spiritual power. And it's wicked, and it's evil, and it's rotten. You see, these are the rulers of darkness. These are against the principalities. This is against Satan and his spirits. And that's what we fight under all the time. Now there's several other scriptures over in Psalms 10, verses 1 through 11. It talks about Satan, refers to him like a lion. And we know these scriptures. He runs around like a lion seeking to who he can devour. And that's us. That's the first fruits. He already has all the world, and he's already doing that to the world right now. And he's trying to do that as much as he can to the first fruits. Very luckily, thankfully, we are protected by God's Spirit. In Psalms 94, verses 1 through 20, it's talking about this throne of iniquity. He has a throne. He has a position. He is the God of this world. What's he doing today? Go outside and look. Turn on the television. Watch the news. You see what he's doing. In that same chapter, in verse 5, it talks about breaking the people in pieces. It just always tears at them. And so not only does Satan have his angels, not only did he did what he did in the Garden of Eden, was allowed to put that computer chip in all of us, something that people don't think about, but Jesus Christ had that computer chip in him too. He was a man. He was a human. He was exactly like you and I. He was 100% flesh. Now, he had God's Spirit around him as he grew up and as he got to the age of 30. And that Spirit did teach him and train him. Just as we saw, that Spirit was around the prophets of the Old Testament. And when he was baptized, he received God's Holy Spirit within him. And the Father then dwelt with him, and he became his son. That's what the Bible says. If you want to argue with that, fine. Don't argue with me. So we see that Satan has gone around like a lion, that he is in charge of this world, that he is the God of this world, and everything that happens in this world, he is controlling and he's directing. The only time the Father or Jesus Christ gets involved with this world is with the first fruits. And with certain areas that may speed up or slow down a particular event that God wants to happen. Other than that, Satan has absolute free rule over this earth and all the people. And until we die, we will have that computer chip. The only thing that helps us now, of course, is God's Holy Spirit within us that overrides that. We're going to get into that in a moment. We all know in our lives that it doesn't override it as much as we'd like it to. We're not as perfect as we would like to be, and we're not as obedient to God as we would like to be. Our mind is one thing, our flesh and our body is something else. It always seems to go in the wrong direction, doesn't it? We really didn't want to lie to that person, did we? But we had to lie because our pride would be hurt and our vanity would be hurt and we'd be embarrassed. So of course we had to lie, didn't we? But we didn't want to. But that other force is within us. I'm talking about, as they say, little white lies, but a lie is a lie. A sin is a sin. You can murder or you can lust. You could covet or you could actually go out and steal. Sin is still sin. There is no big sin or little sin. You break one, you break them all. You still have the penalty of death. So that's how Satan is working right now in the world, and he is the god of this world. And he is that principality. Let's look a little bit now on what is Satan doing in the churches of the world. What about all the counterfeit churches of the world that we see? How is he working? Does it talk about him at all in this? Let's turn back to Ezekiel 34. Again, these are familiar scriptures. Sometimes we just haven't applied them properly. We've read them, we know them, but without knowing the true plan of God, it gets buried. Now here he's talking about the false ministers and the false prophets. And we'll just kind of go through this a little bit from verses 1 through 10. We'll just skip over a little bit here. But he's talking in verse 2 about this Son of Man prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. He says, unto these shepherds, he says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. They don't really feed the flock. They're out feeding themselves. We've all seen that happen. He says, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Well, they set themselves up as rulers, and they have all of these qualities of Satan, as we've read, and they can't help themselves. They have to set themselves up as rulers. They must rule over the people. Now, we're talking about out in the world, but I think all of us are familiar of what we've seen within the church, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Because a false shepherd is a false shepherd. It doesn't matter whether they're in the world or in the church. They're still going to act the same. It says about the shepherds, you eat the fat. Oh, you clothe yourself with the wool. You know, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. He says, the diseases have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick. You really didn't care about them. You just went about your business. Neither have you bound up that which was broken. He just goes on. He says, have you sought those that were lost? No, he says, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. We've all experienced that, and we know that goes out in the world as well. They preach fear religion. They don't preach Jesus Christ. They don't preach a sacrifice. I don't care who they are and who they profess. It really is not once saved, all your, you know, once saved, always saved. Oh yeah, it's once saved, always saved. Well, until you step over that line, until maybe you do that big sin. Well, if you go down there and rob the bank, obviously you're going to hell. So where was that gift of salvation? Seems to me, Jesus Christ is a big onion giver. You know, you heard that when you're a little kid. Don't give a toy or don't give something to one of your playmates and say you can have it, and then go rip it out of their hands again. Oh, no, no, I want it again. Well, Christ isn't that way, and neither is the Father. When he gives, and it's done. Verse 5, he says, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. He says, my sheep wandered through all mountains and upon every high hill. He says, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. So he talks to these shepherds. He says, as I live, saith the Lord, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds. Yes, he's talking here about the Pope. He's talking here about all those ministers in the Baptist Church, in the Lutheran Church. He's talking about all the religions of the world, Buddha, the Dalai Lama, all the Arab nations. He's talking here about the Jewish religion as well. And in some cases, he's talking about ministers who are in God's church today. And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. You see, he is that true shepherd. I think it was back in John 10, where it talks about the true shepherd and the flock, and we have gone over that. And you can continue on in all these areas here in Ezekiel, where it's talking about what's coming. And he is going to rectify this. And he's really going to do it the proper and right way. But we have to realize something here. He's not mad at the Pope. I use the Pope as an example. He's not mad at the man. He's mad at those spirits. And he's coming down here, and we have to start to realize this, that he's coming down on the force behind man. And that is those satanic spirits and that satanic ruler, the god of this world. And that's who he's after. He knows that these are only pawns in Satan's hands. And when God says, don't judge one another, he knows what he's talking about. And he says, you don't know what you judge. You see, you never saw Satan doing the work. When Christ was calling those scribes and Pharisees hypocrites, whited walls, open sepulchres, he wasn't talking about man. He was talking about the spirits who are running those men. That is what he's going to destroy, not mankind. Those are his brothers. Why would he ever be mad at them? He wouldn't. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 23. And again, you can read the whole chapter here, but he's talking about these false ministers. Starting in verse 1, he says, Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. In verse 2, he says about these pastors, he says, you have scattered my flock and driven them away. Just causing this over and over and over. Verse 13. He says, I have seen the folly of the prophets. He sees this. And he says, you cause my people Israel to err. Now, he's not mad at the people here. He says, you cause. Those spirits are the ones who caused Israel to err, to go astray, to play the whore, to play the harlot. We can go over, you can read the entire chapter here. Because on verse 32, it says, Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. See? I was reading some literature sent out by some of these so-called scattered churches of God. It's interesting how before, God's church is one church. It's always one church. But now all of a sudden, when they started their own, and a whole bunch of other people started their own, and they lured the flock away, and the flock followed some of these hirelings, well, now it's okay that we have four or five churches of God. Oh, now we're a big community, because there is no way. There is no way that the leaders of these churches will ever come together. All the people, all the first fruits, all the ones who are converted, they all want to be one church, be one body, be led by God's servant, one man. That's what they want. But not the leaders. The leaders don't want that. They want their own little business, and they're all feeding themselves quite well. One group got together and spent $1 million on a conference. Can you imagine that? That's because there's no leader. That one church has more committees on it than the Worldwide Church of God ever had, when the Worldwide Church of God was Laodicean. I saw a sign one time and a plaque, and I have that in my office, and it reads, God so loved the world that he didn't send a committee. Because nothing ever has been accomplished in a committee. And that's why God has never ruled that way, and his spirit won't have anything to do with a committee. That's the way Satan runs. It's not the way God runs. Let's go over to Isaiah 56. Some other areas talking about what he's doing in these churches. Okay, we'll go from Isaiah 56, from 9 to 12 here. You can get this later. He says, his watchmen are blind. They are ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving slumber. He says they're greedy dogs, and they can never have enough. And he says they are shepherds that cannot understand. They cannot understand. They all look to their own way. Every one for his gain from his quarter. It says, come you, they say, we will get the wine. We will fill ourselves with strong drink. And tomorrow shall be the same as today, and there'll be much more abundant. You see, God hasn't crashed down on them, and this is their attitude. Oh, God doesn't know what's happening here. We've been running here and ruling around for billions of years. We're just enjoying this. They can do at will whatever they want with human beings. And they love it. They love to cause men to sin. We'll be getting into that in just a short time. Let's go to Jeremiah 10. This is the attitude that is happening. Verse 21, Jeremiah 10. For the pastors are become brutish, have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. See, that's what's coming. Right now they're prospering in gold and silver and the wealth of the land. They're prospering on God's creation. But they won't soon. Soon it is coming when they will be exposed and everyone will see them for what they are. In Jeremiah 12, verse 10, talks about many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Now again, these aren't the human beings. This is what Satan is doing, but he does work through and manifest himself through human beings. So when you see a human being do evil acts, know that the spirit of Satan is there. Know that he is the one doing it. When you see a gay parade, whatever they call these parades, when you see all these homosexuals and lesbians and queers and fruitcakes running down the streets half naked, kissing one another, it's just so revolting. I have to turn off the news every time that's on. It just, oh. Don't get mad at the people. Get mad at the one you're supposed to get mad at. Learn to hate evil. That is what God tells us to do. Learn to hate evil. It's a beginning of knowledge. It's a beginning of understanding. The more that God's Spirit works within you, and the more that you hear what we are preaching and showing you the true plan of salvation, because in that we are revealing Satan. We're not going to just reveal Satan to this church. We're going to reveal Satan to this world. Satan's never been revealed. And he's going to be. He's not going to really be too happy with us. All of you should have read in the three lessons that we sent out that when you preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ, when you preach the true word, when you do it as Christ did it, the world will hate you. They won't just kind of dislike you. They will hate you so much that they want to kill you. And if you're preaching the same as Jesus Christ and the apostles did, then you are going to have the same persecution. That is why we have told everyone and said, and I think you're all beginning to see at this point, that Mr. Armstrong only had part of that plan of salvation. That's why no one came after him with a ball-peen hammer and wanted to hit him on the head, did they? People didn't like him, but they certainly didn't persecute him. Not the way that Christ and the apostles were, and that's what we're talking about. That's real persecution. And that comes by saying the truth. Mr. Armstrong was a good man, and he was a converted man, and he was one of the leaders that God gave to us. But at that time, he only had a certain amount of the truth. He had a part of it. We stand on that truth today. The Sabbath day, the holy days, the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Those principles are right, good, and just, and he is the one who taught us. And God used him to teach us. But as we have seen, he didn't know the full plan of salvation. Mr. Armstrong died not knowing whether he really would be in the kingdom of God. He really didn't understand the full sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now he will be there, as all first fruits will be there. I can give you a scripture here in Jeremiah 25:34-36. It talks about the shepherds, how they howl. And in Jeremiah 50, we'll read that. Jeremiah 50, verse 6. It says, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away unto the mountains, gone up into the hills, and they've forgotten their resting place." See, that's what they have done. And that's what that spirit of Satan has done through not only out in the world, but he has also done that here within God's church to some degree. And we're getting into that next. So, we see that Satan has been out there in these counterfeit religions. And when I say that Christ, the counterfeit Christ is being preached in all these other Christian, so-called Christian religions. And we know that they're not Christian religions. We know that they are not first fruits. We know that there are only 144,000 first fruits. That's the entirety of the first fruits from Jesus Christ down to the last one for 2,000 years. Only 144,000 first fruits. Make sure you listen to the tape on Pentecost. That'll explain that. So we know that there are not Christian religions out there in the world. And everyone who says that there are blinded. And the ones mainly who are saying that now are the Laodiceans. And they are blinded. And they cannot see. And Satan wants that to go the way of the world. And you notice that the Worldwide Church of God is preaching almost everything that these Christian religions are today. Because it's a counterfeit. And they're blind. And when you're blind, you fall right back into that trap. So if you need any proof, all you have to do is look. And it's there. Okay, so we've covered that. What we want to go into next is, what about in God's true church? Satan is working out in the world. What about in God's church? Can Satan work within the very church of God? We have been told many times that, no, this is pure, this is holy, only Christ is here, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and Satan can't be here, and he couldn't have any influence over us, because after all, we're God's church. We know it all. We know the whole plan. Well, we found out we didn't know the whole plan. We found out a lot of things in the last 10 years, haven't we? We've seen a lot of things. Well, can Satan be within God's church? And if he was allowed to be there, how much control could he really have? Let's go into that next.